Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We began this series several weeks ago, and as I was studying and preparing and thinking and praying about what the Lord would have us to do, we're going to be in this book of Colossians, actually this chapter, for quite a while. And we have looked at several thoughts. First of all, we've seen about the will of God. We talked about that in length. Then we've been talking last week and this week about walking worthy. Last week we talked about being fruitful in our walk. Today we're going to be having growth. And I want you to look down to verse 9 in this particular chapter. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made meet to us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of the darkness, and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come before You. We thank You for the day, and we thank You for this Scripture. I pray that You might speak to our hearts, give us what we have need of this very hour. Lord, we just want to give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Now, as we talked about this, this is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. As he is praying for the church there at Colossae, there are several things that he brings out in his prayer. We talked about the will of God, that we need to know what God's will is for our life. Each person has a divine plan. We need to know what that will is. And then last week and this week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about walking worthy. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. You know, folks, do we really understand what God has given to us when we talk about salvation? You know, we think about salvation, we know about salvation, we know that when we leave this world, we have a home in heaven, and that's great and that's good. But you know, that's not what salvation is all about. Oh yes, we want to go to heaven, we want to be with the Lord. But salvation is God says, "I'm taking you, I'm putting into you into my family, and you will be my child." I have an aunt, my mom's sister. When they got married, they were told that they could not have any children. And so they began to pray, and they began to do different things. And finally, they adopted a little boy. And this was just their pride and joy. They named him Jay, and they were thrilled. Right after he was born, about a year later, she became pregnant and they had their own child. So they had two children. It was a very unique situation. They had two children in the family, a boy and a girl. The boy was adopted and the girl was a natural child. Those children, as they grew up, the boy, he knew that he was adopted. And he would tell people, "My parents loved me enough, they adopted me. They took me." Boy, it was a thrill, and it was they were, and he enjoyed it. Then his sister came along, and he used to pick at his sister, "Well, my mom and dad love me more than you because they picked me, and I'm adopted. I'm part of the family." Folks, what we have to understand, when God says, "I want to bring you into my family," God is taking us in our sinful state, in our wicked state that we are in, and God says, "I want you to be part of me. I want you to have what I have." And you know, we look at this. We say, "How in the world can I walk worthy? How can I walk worthy of God?" We talked last week about being fruitful, and the idea is growing fruit in our life. We talked about the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit, and also seeing other people saved and seeing things happen. But I want you to think about this little phrase, and the Bible says here, "increased in the knowledge of God." Increased in the knowledge of God. Today's message I want to give you is having growth. Now, fruitfulness and having growth are very similar, but you have to have growth before you can have fruit. But I want to share several things with you about the idea of growing as a Christian. Number one, reasons for growth. First of all, is to be strong. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. We'll be looking at several different passages. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want you to go down to verse 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Bible says, "And as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." That you may grow thereby. The reason that we grow in the Lord is to be strong in the Lord. We were studying in the adult Sunday school class time about David and Goliath. We were discussing about David and what took place. And, you know, many times that's a very familiar story, and we kind of overlook some things in that particular passage and how God was directing and everything that took place. But God made David strong to be able to carry out the job. I was sharing with my class about the idea. David told Goliath what he was going to do before he did it. He said, "I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to kill you." The problem was David didn't have a sword. And David said, I'm going to slay you. I'm going to cut your head off. You are going to die, and I'm going to get rid of you. But you know, David, as I told my class, didn't have a sword, but God was with David, and God interceded, and God took care of it. God did it. But here's the thing we have to understand. When we're growing in the Lord, it makes us strong in God. It makes us so we're going to be able to fight the battles. You know, when a couple has a little baby and that little baby begins to grow and begins to get bigger and bigger, mom and dad begin to realize their problems are getting bigger and bigger and things are happening. And boy, they're running around. And Jody, they get into everything and they do everything. They take after mom and dad. Just, you know, follow that. But here's what God says. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We expect babies to grow. You know, it's a sad occasion when babies don't grow. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson one time sharing a story, a true story, that he was in a revival meeting and they had asked him to come by this particular home. And he went into the home and they had a nursery and a beautiful baby, and Dr. Robertson was talking with the family, and he turned to the parents and said, "Oh, how old is your child?" And they said, 18 years. He kind of took a step back and said, what did you say?" They said, 18 years. This little baby for 18 years never grew. This little baby was the same size for 18 years and never grew. It did everything a normal baby did. All the functions, everything was good. The problem was it never grew. But you know, sad, that's how many Christians are. Many Christians, when we get saved, we start off as a baby Christian, and the Bible teaches us where to grow. But there are many Christians who never grow spiritually. They're never strong in the Lord. God never does anything in their life. And so there's no growth in their life. And they are a baby Christian for life. Then I want to give you the second thought, is not only to be strong, but to be sinless. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me show you an interesting passage. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. We need to be strong and we need to be sinless. Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God." I want you to notice a little statement in there, unto perfection. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody here perfect today? TJ, you ever do anything wrong? Yeah. Randy, are you perfect? You're sure? Man, we look around, we think, man, what are you talking about, Pastor? How can I be perfect? As we grow in Christ, we become sinning less and less and less, and we should become like Christ. But here's when we become perfect. Here's when we become the perfect Christian. Folks, it'll happen someday. You will become perfect when God says it's time to come home and we leave these bodies and we go up to heaven. That's when we get to be perfect. But folks, I want you to think about something. From the moment you got saved to the moment God says it's time to come home, whether through death or by the rapture, and I'm looking for the rapture to take place and ready for the Lord to come back and looking eagerly for His second coming. But here I want you to think about this, what the Bible talks about. The Bible says that we are to walk worthy. And the way we walk worthy is, first of all, by being fruitful. The second thing is by having growth in our life. But here's the thing I want you to see. Folks, if you are growing, if you are growing in the Lord and God is doing something in your life, there's evidence, there's fruit. People look at your life and they can see fruit. What it means is you are growing toward perfection. Now, don't get misled by some people who teach erroneously that you can become perfect and never sin in this world. Folks, as long as we have these earthly bodies, as long as we have this flesh, as long as we have this body that we carry around, we will have a problem with sin. We will deal with sin for the rest of our life. It'll never go away. It'll never be any better. It'll never be any easier. But here's what we have to be doing. As a child of God, we are walking worthy of God. And we are walking, and every day we're walking closer and closer and closer. You remember back in the Old Testament when Enoch was walking with God, and God simply says, Enoch, just come on home with me. My home's closer. Just come on home. And I want you to be with me and not to go back to your own earthly home. And God took him home. You see, the Bible says someday we're going to go home. And again, that could be by death or that could be by the rapture of the church. And God says it's time to come. But folks, what we have to do, as long as we are here, we have a job to do. And that job is to walk worthy of the Lord and to grow in grace and to be sinning less than what we did the day before and the day before and the year before and the year before that. That's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy to go through life and never do anything wrong. But folks, the closer we go to God, the closer we become more like God, and the more we sin less in our life. Let me give you the third thought. Number three is to be sanctified. Not only we are to be strong, we're to be sinless, but we're to be sanctified. Being sanctified means set apart. It means that we are holy in the sight of God, and God can take us and use us. Have you ever wondered, why does God want to use me? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, oh, I'm so great, look at me, look at all I've done. Oh, if God's going to use anybody, God's going to use me. Many, many times, I question God and I say, God, what are you doing? Why are you using me? Why are you taking my life and why are you doing this and why are you giving me this opportunity? God, why are you doing? You know, I've mentioned this several times before about our family when we moved around. Our family, my dad worked with Walmart and we moved around all the time and we went from school to school. And early in my schooling days, there were some things that I missed out on and some things I had some difficulties with. And we went from one school to another school and kind of just passed on some things. One of the things I had really trouble with was phonics. I could not sound out things and still have trouble with that even today and difficult. But you know, even as I was thinking about this earlier, even with the speech difficulties and the different things that I had over the years, God says, I've got a plan. I've got something I want you to do. I have set you apart to do something for me. And folks, there's not a day that goes by that I look to God and say, God, thank you for what you're doing. This is not me. This is not what I would have designed. This is God working. But folks, what we need to do is we need to be strong. We need to be sinless in our life and we need to be sanctified. These are reasons why we grow. Let me give you the second thought. Let me give you some remedies for growth, or how we grow. And I encourage you to write these down. There are notes there in your bulletin. You can write these down. Let me give you the first thought, is we need to stay in the Word. Remedies for growth, stay in the Word of God. Folks, if you're going to be a growing Christian, you're going to be a Christian who's in the Word of God. And I mean daily. And I mean every single day spending time, getting time in the Word of God, whether it's one verse, one chapter, whatever it may be. Whatever you can do, get alone with God and get into the Word of God. Stay in the Bible. Folks, you cannot grow apart from the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. You cannot grow as a Christian apart from the Word of God. If you are going to grow, it's not just coming to church on Sunday. It's not just picking up your Bible during the week and bringing it to church and acting like you're spiritual. It is getting into the Word of God. It is studying the Word of God. It is growing by the pages of the Word of God. Every single Christian needs to be in the Word of God. I tell the boys and girls, you need to be in the Word of God. Whether just read one verse, if that's all you can do, stay in the Word of God. Take time. Get into the Word of God. Go and start your day with the Word of God. End your day with the Word of God. Be in the Word of God all day long. Think about these things. Oh, throughout the Bible, in the book of Psalms, God talks about meditating and thinking and getting into the Word of God. I delight in the law of the Lord and so forth. But the first thing is we need to stay in the Word. Number two is we need to serve in the church. Stay in the Word. Number two, you need to serve in the church. The way you grow is by putting into action what you know. I want you to think about this for just a moment. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We see what God is saying. What God wants us to do is, okay, turn around, do something, put it into action. Don't just sit on the blessed assurance, but get up and go. Get up and do something for God. Don't just sit back and say, well, God can't use me. Folks, you can give me every excuse in the Word of God, and I can give you a character in the Word of God that had the same excuse and God used him. Some people say, well, I'm too old. Moses was 120, and the Bible says his eyes was not dim, and he was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. I don't think anybody here is over 120. Moses was faithful to God. Moses said, oh, I can't speak. God took care of that. We have people all through the Word of God that had difficulties or problems, and God says, hey, I can take care of that. We have all kinds of excuses. Oh, God, I'm too old, or I don't know how to do something, or God, that's not my job. I can't do that. Folks, I want to tell you something. When you're staying in the Word, you get the Word of God, and it gets into your heart. You know what you're going to do? You're going to want to serve. You're going to want to do something for God. You're not going to want to just sit by idly and do nothing and just let the world pass by and just, oh, well, whatever happens. No, you're going to get excited. You read the Word of God. You read in the early church and how God was blessing and God's power fell. Next week, we're going to be talking about the power of God. This week, as we talk about growth, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the early church. As things began to happen, they began to see souls saved. And the Bible says the Lord added into the church daily as such to be saved. I forgot to mention this earlier. I was going to say something about Kenny helping and different things. We had groups going out on Tuesday night this week. We had some groups going out on Thursday night. We also had some groups going out on Friday night, going out and just visiting and knocking on doors. And we need to be doing this. We need to be serving and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. But number one, we are to stay in the Word. Number two, we're to serve. Number three, we're to separate from the world. Folks, when we become a Christian, we are different from the world. And what we do is we separate ourselves and we are different from the world. Folks, the world should look at you and say, I see something about you. I see something about you. They should look at us and they should say, I see Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about this. If you are not walking worthy of the Lord, people will not see Jesus. They will see you. And when they see us, and folks, trust me, when I look out and I see you, sometimes it's not a pretty sight. Okay? And when you have to look at me, I realize it's just as not as a pretty sight either. But here's the thing that God says. When people look at us and they see Jesus, they're not seeing me. They're not seeing my mistakes. They're not seeing my problems. They're not seeing my sin. They see my Savior. And when they see my Savior, they say, that's what I want. I want that peace. I want that assurance. I want that calmness in the midst of a storm. I want that sense. Hey, you know what's going on. You know what's going to be taking place. You know where you're going. Folks, this is the greatest time to be as a Christian, to be serving God, and to be living for Him. Folks, we're going home soon. I was sharing this with somebody yesterday, the other day. I said, you know, being a Christian is great. The retirement plan is out of this world. It's great. Man, I get excited. I look at the news and I see things happening. Man, we've got a mess going on in Israel right now. You and I say, praise God, it's getting closer. Things are happening. We look at this mess in the Gulf. Man, they've tried everything and they're doing everything and they're seeing what is taking place. But you know what God says? I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I was reading an interesting fact just the other day that normally this time of year we have somewhere around 150 or 200 tornadoes. There have already been 500 tornadoes on record just in the last month. It's unbelievable. Things are happening. But here's what we got to be doing. When we're walking worthy, we're growing in the Lord, we're staying in the Word, we're serving in the church, we're separated from the world, and number four, we're seeking after sinners. Folks, if you don't have a burden for people who are unsaved, who are outside the church, we need to get a burden and say, God, do something to my heart. But you know how you get a burden is read the Word of God. When you began to read the Word of God, you began to see the goal and the drive of the church is twofold. We are to seek sinners, but we're to build up the saints. We're to seek after those that are lost and go after people. It's one of the reasons we have our Vacation Bible School is to reach out to boys and girls and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single night we will have Bible preaching. Every single night I'll be preaching to all the different groups and we'll be presenting the salvation plan. We'll be seeing kids saved this week. We follow them up. We go to the homes. We talk to parents. But folks, we make no bones about what we do. We are seeking people to be saved. We are seeking people to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we have our church website, the reason we have our bus ministry, the reason we have our visitation programs, the reason we have all the different ministries of our church is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. To go after people, we need to be seeking people. But remember the remedies. Remember what God said. But then I want you to notice the third thought is a rebuke for no growth. The rebuke for no growth. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We see a very interesting verse. Look down to verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I want you to notice a little statement there. It says that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro. The first thing I want you to see is the reason or the rebuke for no growth, first of all, is not settled. Not settled. What do you think about this? Folks, if your faith is not settled, you're going to wave back and forth. If you don't believe what the Word of God says and stand on the truths, you don't have it grounded in your heart. You don't know why that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know why or about the idea of eternal life. You don't understand that concept. You don't understand what is going on. You are not grounded in the Word of God. You see, as a Christian, we need to know simple things. We need to know that Jesus died for us on the cross. We need to know that He loves us dearly. We need to know that someday we're going to be with Him forever and ever. But folks, these are simple truths. But I want you to think about something. You see, when we're not settled or not grounded, we are tossed to and fro. every little thing that comes along, every little preacher that comes along and says something that sounds good, but it's not biblical, we begin to follow after. Oh, that sounds great. I want to get into that. I want to listen to that. And folks, what happens pretty soon, we get carried away. We get swept away by not sound doctrine. We don't listen to the teaching of the Word of God. We began to fall into the trap of Satan. And we began to realize Satan is there to destroy us and to take us and to make us nothing. Folks, we get out of church. People that are not settled, they don't stay in church. They don't stay faithful to God. Because you see, if you're not settled, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're not in the Word of God. You're not serving in the local church. You're not doing the things that God wants you to be doing. I want you to think about this for just a moment. I want you to think about what God is doing. Not settled. Not settled. Now, go with me down to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 12. Actually, that's not the verse I'm looking for. Well, let me give you the thought here is we're not serving. We're not settled and we're not serving. The verse I was looking for was talking about that we need to be taught. Actually, I'm in the book of Ephesians. No wonder it's not Hebrews. Okay. Boy, I tell you, senior moment here. Hebrews chapter 5. Let me look at verse 12 again. There we go. It says, well, for the time, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the oracles of God. And you are become such as having need of milk and not strong meat. Yeah, that sounds more like it. And here's the thing I want you to see. There are some of you that are here today that you're not settled. You're not doing what God wants you to be doing. But number two, you're not serving. And the reason you're not serving is you are a baby Christian and you're not growing in the Lord. Instead of being mature and teaching and training and doing something for someone else, you are need to be taught again. You are one that need to be taught over and over and over and over. Someone comes along and you've been saved for a long time. You have not just recently trusted Christ. You've been saved for a good while. You should be to the point that you should be taking what you have learned and taking that to someone else and teaching someone else. You should be grounded in the Word of God that you should be able to take what you know and tell somebody else the things that you've been taught. But you know, some of you, what's happened, you grew just a little bit and you stopped and you enjoyed the milk diet and stood at adjoining the great piece of meat from the Word of God. You are a baby Christian that never grew up. And you know what happens? More time has to be dealt with you. You are one that has to be dealt with over and over and over and over and over. You don't get the things that everybody else is getting. You are kind of a little bit behind. Sometimes I tell my kids, some people are a few fries short of a happy meal. That's how people are as a Christian. There's just something just a little bit different. Something, they're not grounded in the Word of God. They are not growing in God's Word. And folks, that's sad. You know, I read this and I've shared this with you. There's a particular cult, I'm not going to mention their name, but they get 80% or more of their converts from independent Baptist churches, just like ours. You know why? People are not grounded in the Word of God. They do not know what the Bible says. They do not know how to take the Bible and tell someone else how to know how they can be for sure they're on their way to heaven. Man alive, I had a joy on Thursday night to sit down Brother Everett Brooks and I take the Word of God and talk with a man and tell him from the Word of God how he can know for sure he was saved. That's great. That's a thrill. That's a joy. To be able to take the Bible and say, this is what God's Word says. We sat outside and we sat down and I took the Bible and began to go through it. He said, oh yeah, I understand all that. I believe all that. We came down to the point. Now I said, would you like to put your trust in the Lord? He said, no, I don't want to do that right now. I'll do it later. I want to change some things in my life. And I said, sir, I want to tell you something. I said, you will never change to get saved because you will never be good enough. He said, oh, I've got to clean up some things. I've got to take care of some things. I said, you will never get good enough to get saved. And boy, he got saved and he was thrilled. He was just rejoicing in what took place. But you see, as a Christian, as a child of God, we need to be busy and serving and doing something instead of simply sitting around and let other people serve us. We need to be giving back to God. Again, we come back to the main thought, walking worthy. The way we walk worthy is to be growing. Growing as a Christian. You know, some of you, you've been saved maybe 10 years. Maybe some of you 5 or less. Some of you have been saved 20 years. Some of you have been saved 30 years. Some of you can say that you've been saved 40 plus years. That's great. That's a great thing, great testimony. Be saved 40 years. Some of you have been saved even longer than that. But here's the thing. It does not matter how long you've been saved. What matters is, what do you have to show for what you've done? How's your growth? What have you done for God? What have you done when you stand before God? Let me just close with this. I've often wondered and often thought, what is it going to be like when we get to heaven? I know we'll be with family and friends and we'll be reunited with those that have gone on. I've had loved ones that have already died and they're in heaven. It's going to be a time. But you know, you think about this. And I guess maybe as a pastor, this is how my mind works. I wonder, all the people through my Christian life that I've led to the Lord and seen saved and gotten in church, I wonder how it's going to be to see all those folks, see the different people. I mentioned, I gave this testimony before about the first person I ever led to the Lord was a boy by the name of Danny Keith. I haven't seen Danny. It's probably been probably close to 30 years plus now, but I'll see him in heaven. Oh, that'll be a great time. I'll see his dad and mom and his sister and the rest of the family that got saved. See, Danny, my best friend, I brought him to church. He got saved and he started coming. His mom and dad started coming. They got saved. His sister came. She got saved. The whole family just went through the whole family. But you know what? I'll share in all that. You know why? It started with Danny, that little boy. 12-year-old boy I saw saved. First one that I brought to Jesus. Man alive, it's going to be great. And then all the other different people throughout the years. The different churches we've been in, the different places we've served, the different people we've seen saved. I look out here across the audience and the different ones that I've led to the Lord in here and seen saved and baptized. And man, it's a thrill. It's a joy. But here's the thing. We get to heaven. We're going to see the growth. We're going to see the results. You know, sometimes it's hard to see growth here. Sometimes it's hard to grow as a Christian and to see it, other people see. We're not to do things for show. We're not to do things to say, hey, look at me. Look what I've done. I was talking to a man just the other day, and the man made the claim that he'd been in Sunday school, had not missed one Sunday school time, 54 years. Amazing. He was bragging about it. He was talking about it. He was making a big to-do about it. Folks, that's not growth. Growth sometimes is unseen. Sometimes it's God working in your life, but is evident to other people. Other people look at you and they say, I see you walking with Jesus. May not be perfect. May not do everything just the way we should. We all sin. But here's the thing. What is it going to be like when we stand before the Lord? As a believer, we will stand at the judgment seat of believers. We will give an account for our lying. God will then reward us for the things that we've done here for service. God's not going to reward you just simply for coming to church. A lot of Christians think that. Oh, I do God a favor. I'm in church. No, you don't. But here's the thing. Are you growing? Are you growing? Is it evident? Think about the things we've talked about and think about walking worthy. Let's bow our heads.